Proverbs chapter 7. That's where we'll... Yes. Proverbs chapter 7, verse 1. Solomon writes, "My son, keep my words and treasure up my commandments with you. Keep my commandments and live. Keep my teaching as the apple of your eye. Bind them on your fingers. Write them on the tablet of your heart. Say to wisdom, 'You are my sister,' and call insight your intimate friend, to keep you from the forbidden woman, from the adulteress with her smooth words." Verse 6, "For at the window of my house I have looked out through my lattice, and I have seen among the simple, I have perceived among the youths a young man lacking sense, passing along the street near her corner, taking the road to her house in the twilight, in the evening, at the time of night and darkness. And behold, the woman meets him, dressed as a prostitute, wily of heart. She is loud and wayward. Her feet do not stay at home. Now in the street, now in the market, and at every corner she lies in wait. She seizes him and kisses him, and with bold face says to him, 'I had to offer sacrifices, and today I have paid my vows. So now I have come out to meet you, to seek you eagerly, and I have found you. I have spread my couch with coverings, colored linens from Egyptian linen. I have perfumed my bed with myrrh, aloes, and cinnamon. Come, let us take our fill of love till morning. Let us delight ourselves with love, for my husband is not at home. He has gone on a long journey. He took a bag of money with him. At full moon, he will come home. With much seductive speech, she persuades him. With her smooth talk, she compels him. All at once, he follows her, as an ox goes to the slaughter, or as a stag is caught fast till an arrow pierces its liver. As a bird rushes into a snare, he does not know that it will cost him his life." Here in Proverbs chapter 7, Solomon, the son of David, looks out through the lattice and he sees a young man. He looks out through this lattice and he sees a young man who is lacking sense. He sees a young man who is tiptoeing near the gates of deep darkness and death. A young man who is wandering near the streets of her corner. He is wandering and taking the road to her house. He is seduced by this adulterous woman. He is compelled by this forbidden woman. And sadly, sadly, she takes away his life. This evening, as we consider Proverbs chapter 7, we're not going to consider the dangers of sexual temptation, though that is an important topic. However, tonight, as we consider Proverbs chapter 7, the question that we ask ourselves is what? What exactly was she wearing? What was this forbidden woman wearing that caused this young man to sin? As we look at the text, the passage tells us in verse 10 that this woman met him and she was dressed as a prostitute, wily of heart. This woman was wearing clothes that were fitting for a prostitute. And so, the next question we ask ourselves is, what does that look like? How does a prostitute dress? As we scan Proverbs chapter 7, we realize that the passage does not go into great detail about exactly what that looks like. And so, for us to get an understanding of how a prostitute dresses, we're going to have to look at passages in the Old and the New Testament that give a little more insight into this type of attire. And so, if you will turn to Genesis chapter 38. In Genesis chapter 38, we have our first description of the attire that a prostitute would wear. In Genesis chapter 38, we are introduced to Judah, who is one of the 12 sons of Jacob. And in this passage, we learn that Judah had a son who died childless. And so Judah's daughter-in-law, Judah's widowed daughter-in-law, Tamar, takes matters into her own hands. She desperately wants to have a child, and so she attempts to deceive her father-in-law, Judah, into lying with her. And the text tells us in verse 14, Genesis chapter 38 and verse 14, that Tamar took off her widow's garment and covered herself with a veil, wrapping herself up, and sat at the entrance to Enam. So we know that Tamar was a widow. Tamar was dressed as a widow. And here in Genesis chapter 38, she took off her widow's garment. She stripped herself of the clothing that would cause everyone to know that she was a widow, and she put a veil on her face. She covered her face. This is important because verse 15, the text would continue to tell us, when Judah saw her, he thought she was a prostitute. Why? For she had covered her face. And so back to Proverbs chapter 7. The question that we are considering tonight is, what was that forbidden woman wearing that caused that young man to sin? How does a prostitute dress? Here in Genesis chapter 38, we learn that prostitutes during this time would often cover their faces. They would often wear veils. But not only that, not only would they wear a veil, Scripture tells us that prostitutes would often wear colorful shrines. In Ezekiel chapter 16, the Lord is rebuking the nation of Israel, and he is likening the faithless nation of Israel to a faithless bride. And he describes the attire of this faithless nation in Ezekiel chapter 16, starting in verse number 15. The text says in verse 15, "But you, Israel, trusted in your beauty and played the harlot because of your renown and lavished your harlotry on any passerby. Your beauty became his." Verse 16, "You took some of your garments and made for yourself colorful shrines, and on them you played the harlot. The like has never been, nor shall ever be." Here in Ezekiel chapter 16, as the Lord is likening the faithless nation of Israel to a faithless bride, he describes their attire. He says they were garbed, they were dressed in colorful shrines. Again, the question that we are considering is what? What was that forsaken woman in Proverbs chapter 7 wearing that caused that young man to sin? She was dressed as a prostitute. What does that look like? It looks like a woman who has her face covered. It looks like a woman who is wearing colorful shrines. And it looks like a woman who is wearing rings and jewelry. Rings and jewelry. In Hosea chapter 2, the Lord again is likening the faithless nation of Israel to an adulterous woman. And in Hosea chapter 2 and verse 13, the Lord describes the type of attire that the faithless nation was wearing. In verse 13, the text says, the Lord speaking, "I will punish her for the feast days of the Baals when she burned offerings to them and adorned herself with her ring and jewelry and went after her lovers and forgot me, declares the Lord." Another passage that describes the type of attire that a harlot would wear.
We're asking ourselves, how was that woman dressed in Proverbs chapter 7? What did she have on? She likely wore a veil that covered her face. She likely wore a colorful shrine. She likely had rings and jewelry. And she likely wore purple, scarlet, gold, had jewels and pearls. In Revelation chapter 17, the Apostle John speaks of the nation of Babylon as a great harlot. And in Revelation chapter 17 and verse 4, John describes the attire of this great harlot Babylon. The text says in verse 4 that the woman was arrayed in purple and scarlet and adorned with gold and jewels and pearls, holding in her hand a golden cup full of abominations and the impurities of her sexual immorality. Again, we see another passage that describes how the harlot dressed. Another passage that describes the type of attire that a prostitute would wear. And so, as we consider Proverbs chapter 7, and as we think about the type of clothing that that forbidden woman was wearing, as we look through Scripture, we get a clear description. We get a clear description of what she likely had on. She likely wore a veil that covered her face. She likely wore a colorful shrine. She likely had many rings and jewelry. She likely wore purple. She likely wore scarlet. She probably wore gold, had jewels and pearls. As we think about this, it's fascinating to note that the adulterous woman, the prostitute, and the harlot's problem was not her lack of clothing, but it was her excessive clothing. We talked about this briefly this morning in Bible class. Immodest dress is not always about one's lack of clothing, but we see in Scripture more often than not, it is about too much clothing. Before you throw stones at me, I realize that it is a problem. It is a problem to wear dresses that are too short. It is a problem to wear pants that are too tight. It is a problem to wear shirts that are too low, but again, when we look at Scripture, the problem is not the lack of clothing, but it is the excessive clothing. And so the question that we ask ourselves this evening is, how? How do I dress in a way that professes godliness? Because clothing that fails to glorify God is wrong. Clothing that draws attention away from God and to oneself is wrong. Clothing that causes other people to sin is wrong. How? How do I dress in a way that professes godliness? Turn to 1 Timothy chapter 2. In 1 Timothy chapter 2, the Apostle Paul gives the young evangelist Timothy a description of godly attire. 1 Timothy chapter 2, starting in verse number 9. The text says, "Likewise also, women should adorn themselves in respectable apparel, with modesty and self-control, not with braided hair and gold or pearls or costly attire, but with what is proper for women who profess godliness with good works." Paul says the one who dresses to profess godliness is going to be concerned about what she is wearing. She is going to be concerned about wearing too much. Tim, is Paul saying that women have to walk around in potato sacks in order to be godly? No. That's not what the Lord through the Apostle Paul by the inspiration of the Holy Spirit is saying. We have many examples in Scripture of faithful women of God who wore nice things. You look at the virtuous woman in Proverbs chapter 31. Proverbs chapter 31 describes the virtuous woman, and the text says that her household, in verse 21, her household was clothed in scarlet. But this was a righteous woman. This was a godly woman, but she wore scarlet. Her household wore scarlet. She was a righteous woman who wore nice things. So Paul, in 1 Timothy chapter 2, is not saying that women have to wear potato sacks in order to be godly. We have another example of a faithful, godly woman, the woman Dorcas in Acts chapter 9. Dorcas was a woman who passed away. And when Dorcas dies, all of her friends and all of her family and all of these people are showing off all of the beautiful, nice garments that Dorcas had made. Dorcas was a faithful woman of God who made nice things. Lydia is another faithful woman mentioned in Acts chapter 16. A godly woman who was a seller of purple. So it's not wrong. It's not wrong for us to wear nice things. But the problem that Paul is addressing in 1 Timothy chapter 2 is it's wrong to dress in a way that elicits unnecessary attention and draws others and oneself away from God. If we are wearing clothing that distracts other people, and if we are wearing clothing that causes other people to sin, if we wear clothing that puts all of the attention on us, then we have a problem. We are not dressing in a way that professes godliness. And so the next question that we ask ourselves is, what does it look like? How do you dress in a way that professes godliness? I am not going to stand up here and draw lines. I'm not going to stand up here and get a ruler and tell you that your pants have to be this long and your dress has to be this long and your pants have to be this long. I'm not going to do that. I've been a part of local congregations that have done that, and I think that's wrong. I was a part of one church that said that if you wear shorts, you're going to hell. You can't tell somebody that they're going to go to hell for wearing shorts. That's not biblical. I'm not going to do that. But what I am going to do is show you very quickly in Scripture the type of mindset and the type of attitude that we have in order to dress in a godly way. And if your heart and your mind is right with God, naturally you're going to dress in a godly way. Nobody's going to have to tell you exactly what to put on. We're going to clothe our heart and we're going to clothe our minds with strength and dignity. In Proverbs chapter 31, twice the passage says about the virtuous woman that she clothed herself with strength and with dignity. Proverbs chapter 31 and verse 17. The text says that she dresses herself with strength and makes her arms strong. In Proverbs chapter 31 and verse 25, the text continues to say that strength and dignity are her clothing, and she laughs at the time to come. This was a woman who was clothed with strength and dignity. Her heart and her mind was right with God. This was a strong woman. This was a stable woman. This was a woman who had a firm foundation. This was a woman who worked hard. Yes, she did things with her hands. She was a woman who worked hard in the community. She was a woman who worked hard for her family, and she was a woman who worked hard for the Lord. She was a woman who was confident. She was a woman who was secure. She says, the text says that she laughs at the time to come. This isn't an arrogant type of laugh. This is a confidence that she had because she was a strong woman who had a firm foundation. This is the type of attitude and this is the type of mindset that we must clothe ourselves with. We must be firmly planted and firmly rooted in the Word of God. And so when the winds and the waves of life come, we're not going to blow away. We're not going to drift away. We're not going to walk away from the Lord. We're going to stay grounded in His Word. And when we have that type of mindset and when we have that type of attitude, our clothing will show the same thing. We're going to clothe ourselves with strength and dignity, and we're also going to clothe ourselves with meekness and with humility. In 1 Peter chapter 3, the Apostle Peter is giving instructions on the type of relationships that husbands should have with their wives and the type of relationships that wives should have with their husbands.
In 1 Peter chapter 3, starting in verse number 1, the text says, "Likewise, wives, be subject to your own husbands, so that even if some do not obey the word, they may be won without a word by the conduct of their wives, when they see your respectful and pure conduct. Do not let your adorning be external, the braiding of hair and the putting on of gold jewelry or the clothing that you wear, but let your adorning be the hidden person of the heart with the imperishable beauty of a gentle or a meek and quiet spirit, which is in God's sight very precious." What Peter is saying, just as Paul said, is don't focus so much on your outward appearance, focus on your heart. And when you focus on your heart, your outward appearance will show forth. Your outward appearance is going to match your heart. And so here in 1 Peter chapter 3, we see that we are to clothe ourselves with a meek and a quiet spirit. What does that look like? The passage continues to say in verse 5, "For this is how the holy women who hoped in God used to adorn themselves, by submitting to their own husbands, as Sarah obeyed Abraham, calling him Lord, and you are her children if you do good and do not fear anything that is frightening." So here we have this example of Sarah and Abraham. Again, we talked about this morning in Bible class. Sarah called Abraham Lord. Sarah respected her husband. She trusted her husband. She submitted to her husband. She showed what a meek and quiet spirit looked like. Again, when that's your attitude and when that's your mindset, it's going to show forth in what you wear. All of us, not just women, but men too, must be meek and lowly in heart. In Matthew chapter 5 and verse 5, the Bible says that the meek will inherit the kingdom of God. We have all been called to be like Christ. Christ was meek and lowly in heart. Matthew chapter 11 and verse 29. And Jesus rode in the city of Jerusalem, humble and mounted on a donkey. That's the type of attitude that we must have if we expect to dress in a way that professes godliness. I know a lot of these points were tied to what women wear and how women dress. The reality is, in the society that we live in today, it's much easier for a woman to dress in a way that is ungodly. I'm not saying that it is impossible for a man to dress in a way that is ungodly, but it is much easier for a woman to dress in an ungodly way. We are living in a world that is full of immodesty, and as children of God, we must be careful how we dress. And the first thing that we have to pay attention to is not what we're wearing, but how our heart looks. When we focus on how our heart looks, our clothing will match. If you're here this evening and you are not a Christian, we ask that you please respond to the gospel. Believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. Repent and turn away from your sins. Have your sins washed away in baptism, rising forth, walking, living in newness of life. If you've done that before, but you've made mistakes and you'd like to make things right this evening, or if you have any other spiritual need that we can help you with, please come to the front while we stand and sing the song of invitation.